Good morning. Did you guys have a great Thanksgiving? I know Donna and I certainly did. We have our daughter and her family here from Searcy, Arkansas, and so we're glad they're able to be with us even today. So if you're a guest with us, and I do see some few new faces, thank you guys so much for being with us. We're here continuing on our study in the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at today God's church on mission. We're going to be reading Acts chapter 10 and look at how Peter was sent to Cornelius. It's a pretty exciting thing because Peter was sent out of his comfort zone. Have you ever had to move out of your comfort zone? I remember when I moved out of my comfort zone one time, my dad took the training wheels off my bicycle. It was pretty adventuresome for me. He leaned the bike to the right, and he said, now when you lean to the right, Ken, you turn your wheel to the right, and it catches you. You lean to the left, and it catches you. Okay, Dad, okay, you know, I got it. You know how you would do that? Like your kids always say, I got it. Okay, I've got it. And he released me, and as he released me down that little slope, I learned what was so hard about riding a bike. It was the pavement. My little body just splashed right there on the pavement. I wallowed in self-pity for a few seconds, and I just thought to myself, with my little brain back then, you know, I thought, you know, I got to wait. I'm just not big enough. I'm just not strong enough, not smart enough. I don't know how this works. I can't figure it out. So I'm going to just wait. It's worth it to wait. But have you ever thought about if you're in your house at night, you're about to go to bed? Well, I think what I'm going to do is wait till in the morning, and I'm going to walk through the house, and I'm going to figure out where that... Oh, no, you don't do that. Or there's some chest pains here and some tingling in my arms. I'm so glad I've got an appointment with a doctor next week. I'm going to ask him if this is something I should be concerned... No, you don't wait. There I was, laying on the pavement, and I didn't want to wait. I wanted to push past the pain for a preferred future, and that was me riding on my bike, controlling my own destiny, getting one of those little cardboard flappy things that I could put on there with a clothespin, and so I would be like the coolest person in the world if I could ride this bike. And so I jumped on, and I fell again, until finally I got up, and I got it right, and I was winning. And don't you want to win in life? And Peter wants to win, and God is going to move him out of his comfort zone, and he is going to launch him on a mission. God's church on mission is going to be our focus. And I want to begin this morning by looking and opening up with a scripture and then having a prayer. Our first scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:20. Paul writes this, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be connected to God. We are his ambassadors, his spokespeople, his representatives. And he has put us into this purpose, into this task, that we would go out and we would appeal to people and we would reconnect them, reestablish them into a relationship with God. That's our mission, God's church on mission. Let's pray together. Loving Father, thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for the opportunity we had to sing praises and for those who led us. Thank you for them. And thank you for the communion thoughts. And thank you for the way that we got to share and the breaking of the bread and the cup. Father, we as a church family can see that you're leading us into a new chapter, and we're not sure what it looks like. But we are sure that you are with us. So we come before your throne on this day to ask, no, to plead, no, to cry out to you, to open our eyes and our ears and our heart, to take faithful steps in becoming a church family that brings you glory and lifts up your Son so that others are drawn to him. Please grow our confidence, Father. Grow our confidence in you and gather us together and send us out to make a difference in advancing your kingdom on this planet, is our prayer through Jesus. And all who agree say amen. I just want to start by asking you, how can we stop being a slave to our fears, and how can we step forward in faith as God's pioneers, as his ambassadors, as his representatives? The day you know you made the decision to be baptized into Christ, to surrender to him, was the day that you said goodbye to your personal comfort, your personal agenda, and your personal likes and dislikes. All to Jesus I surrender, we sing. God's mission is so big and so amazing that we're privileged to get, it's an honor for us to get to be a part of it, isn't it? But also know this, Satan's in the game. And that Satan's strategy is always designed to get us to focus more on our fears than he is on our faithfulness to God's vision. Satan's goal is to shut us up, shut us in, shut us off from one another, and ultimately to shut us down. But don't you love it? When Jesus asked in Caesarea Philippi, who do people say I am? Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to me, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, on this acknowledgement that I am the Christ, that I am the Son of God, on that acknowledgement, I'm going to build my gathering, my called out people, my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. That's the good news. The sad news is Satan is attacking. We're in a war. But the good news is Jesus is fighting for us, and Jesus is for us. Amen? And so as you think about that, I just want you to remember this. It's doing that makes the difference in advancing the kingdom of God. It's not thinking about it, discussing it, or considering it, but actually doing it. So today, I just want to simply give you some simple baby steps, some simple steps. I promise you that if you will live into those steps, great things will happen for the kingdom of God. And we all like, does anybody like to watch LSU win? Any LSU fans in here? Any Alabama fans? We don't like watching Alabama lose, but it happens. Life happens. Sometimes good things happen for good people. God bless you guys, but God didn't bless us yesterday, did he? Oh, man, that was the saddest thing I've seen in a long time. God will pick up. Listen, you do what you can do, and God will pick up and do what only God can do. You remember the little boy with the fishes and the loaves? He did what he could do. He put it into the hands of Jesus, and Jesus multiplied it to feed the multitudes. And if we will just do what we can do, I believe this for us as a church family, God is going to do amazing things. And what we look at today, overwhelming, mission impossible, will become mission unstoppable. And we've been looking at the book of Acts, and then the book of Acts, you can see a fire starting, a flame starting. There's an energy starting, and the Spirit is being poured out into people, and we're going to see it happen today. And so let's just move into our text for today. I want to show you four simple steps, and if you will assess your life and evaluate your life, how well am I living into these four steps? And then you'll say, how can I just make one small baby step to do better in that area? Then I believe in 2020 that this church family, the South Baton Rouge Church of Christ, that we are going to see God do amazing things. We're going to just do what we can do, what little bit we can do, but we're anticipating the supernatural intervention of God, that God's going to take our little and he's going to multiply it into some great things for our church family. So you're excited? You're ready to go? Let's look at our text here. We first need to do this. We need to step up into the presence of God in prayer, in fasting. And fasting is pretty simple, guys. Fasting is simply when your heart breaks for what God's heart breaks, you're not hungry. If you got somebody in the hospital and they're not doing good, and somebody comes to you and say, let's go get something to eat, and you say, no, not right now. I'm in prayer. And when your heart breaks for what God's heart breaks, it's not hard to fast. And so many times we're not really tuned in to the heart of God. So this is going to be critical for you. What's your prayer life like? What's your worship like? And so we're going to find two cool people here today. One, a guy that's completely out of religious circles and one that's completely devoted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But both of them have a starting point, and it's the only place to start, and it's to get on your knees and to pray. Let's look at Cornelius's story. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. He was a centurion. He was a soldier. He was rugged. He was tough. He was rough. He was mean. You didn't want to be with him. And he was leading the Italian regiment, what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing, and he gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. Where do you think this gentleman learned how to cry out to God, to pray to God? If you've ever been in battle, if you've ever been in the military, you know that daily prayers, every day you're crying out to God, God be with me today as I move into battle. And so he is a prayer warrior. And when you have the heartbeat of God, you know that he cares about and wants to help people. And so we see he gave generously to those in need. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. Here it comes. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering to God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. The first step that we need is like Cornelius, that our soul cries out to God. And here's what you need to know. Whether you realize it or not, some of the best prayer warriors in our town aren't coming to church this morning. They're out there and something is falling apart in their life. They're out there and something in their inner being is crying out to God. They're praying, and they're praying that somebody like you, that God will send you to interact with them, to interchange with them, and to be an answer to their prayer. You're going to be the answer to somebody's prayer out in our community. And Peter, he's the new candidate of God. And here's how this story goes. We're now in verse 9. It was about noon the following day as that group was on their journey and approaching the city. And Peter went up on the roof to do what? To pray. And he became hungry. He wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by the four corners. It contained all kind of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. And then a voice told him, Peter, get up, kill, and eat. Seems like a pretty simple request. But this would have been food that was impure and unclean. Listen to what he says. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. What's going on here? The voice spoke to him a second time and said, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Son, you just need to be obedient. You just need to obey. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back up into heaven. And while Peter was wondering about this, the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was, and they stopped at the gate. And they called out, asking if Simon, who is known as Peter, was staying there. Now, while Peter was still on the roof, he was still thinking about the vision. The Spirit said to him, Simon, 3 men are looking for you. So get up, go downstairs, and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Step up into the presence of God through prayer. And here's what we know. Prayer tunes us in to the mission of God like nothing else. Until you know that life is war and that every person in this community is in a spiritual battle between selfishness and serving self, being self-obsessed and being God-obsessed, that's the tension in their lives. And that things are falling apart. Until you know that life is a war for them, you cannot know what prayer is for. And when you know you're in battle, and when you know you're in a spiritual warfare, You get on your knees and you pray. And guys, we know this. We have to step up into the spiritual battle for us between self, serving self, and serving God. But I'm afraid we've so domesticated prayer that it is no longer in many of our lives what it was created to be. It's kind of like hotel service. Excuse me. I was wondering if I could get a new fluffy, extra fluffy pillow and a couple of extra towels. Thank you, God. Just send those on up. Listen, praying that you get the better blessed life is not what prayer is really all about. Prayer is about crying out to God like we saw Cornelius doing and like we saw Peter doing. What in the world is Peter doing with a tanner? Did you know that tanners hang out with dead animals? Did you know people who hang out with dead animals can't go into the temple? Sorry, can't come in here. Not welcome here. Why? Your occupation. In the world was Peter hanging out with Simon the tanner because he'd been hanging out with Jesus. And here's what we know about Jesus. People that were nothing like Jesus were drawn to Jesus. People that had nothing in common with Jesus liked to hang out with him, and he liked to hang out with them. We got tax collectors and sinners. They like, and you know what? Peter had been with Jesus, and he had learned to take a baby step and to move into some uncomfortable relationships. You have no idea how big that little baby step of hanging out with Simon the tanner was going to be, because God is fixing to ask him to take a bigger giant step to hang out with a Gentile. Prayer tunes us into the mission of God, and God has just tuned Peter in, hadn't he? Step number two, step out into opportunities. Step out of your comfort zone. Step out because God is working out there. Listen, do you remember the church gathered in Jerusalem and they were all excited? They had all things in common. There was no needy among them. Woohoo! That was a party. And God is going, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing? I said, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And so God had gathered them. Stephen is killed. He's stoned. And then the church scatters and is sent into Judea and to Samaria. But whoa, don't know. I don't know if we're going to those Gentiles. I don't know if that's where we want to go. But God has a different plan, doesn't he? And so we see here in our next reading that you have to step out into opportunities. And here's the thing, too. When I talk about stepping out into opportunities, stepping out of your comfort, I'm talking about being obedient to God. God, I don't want to do this. And God says, I know, but do it anyway. But God, I don't understand why we would have to do this. This doesn't make a bit of sense to me. I know, but do it anyway. Because God's ways are bigger than our way. Amen? And so let's look at the text here. Peter went down. He said to the man, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? The man replied, we've come from Cornelius, the centurion. And then they tell him about the character and how wonderful Cornelius is. He's qualified for you go to talk to him. So could you go with us? Well, and Peter invites them in to stay into the house to be his guest. And the next day, Peter starts out with them, and some of the believers, now this is Jewish believers, from Joppa went along with him. And this is significant because he's got to have some witnesses. Because listen, what he's about to do is hazardous to his health. Because his peers are not going to support what he does. His peers are not going to like what he's about to do. And so he takes some witnesses and he tells them the story. He tells them how he got a vision from God. And he tells them, I got to go do this. I've got to be obedient to the call of God. So he takes believers from Joppa along with him. Then the following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them. And he called together his relatives and close friends. And as Peter entered the house, don't miss this. He went into a place that he would have been very uncomfortable in. Cornelius met him and fell to his feet in reverence. But Peter made him stand up. Get up. Stand up, he said. I'm only a man myself. And while talking with him, Peter went, what? Now he goes a little deeper into the house, inside, and he found a large gathering of people. And he said to them, you're all aware. I don't know if you're aware, but I'm going to make you aware. You're all aware that it's against our law. It's against our custom. It's against what we're comfortable with for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile. Oh, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising the objection. May I ask why I'm here? And I just want you to think for a minute, why are you here this morning? Why did you gather in this place? Isn't it possible that you want to hear a word from God that would invite you and inspire you and ignite you to leave this place and make a difference in the world for the kingdom of God and moving it forward? Amen? That is why we're here. We want to be used by God. And so what we find is, so when I was sent for, I came. Now, may I ask why you sent for me? And Cornelius is going to unfold the whole story. Well, 3 days ago, I was in my house. I was praying at this hour, 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes, he stood before me and he said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and he's remembered your gift to the poor. So send to Joppa for Simon, who's called Peter. He's a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately. And it was good for you to come, to get out of your comfort zone, to come to me. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell. The second step is you step out into opportunity, out of your comfort, out to where God has worked. But the third step is you step in to connect. We're fixing to watch this happen. Because I see four things happening. He's invested because he's there. He invites people to hear the story of Jesus. He inspires them. He's going to personalize this. You see, when we read this text, how he makes it personal. I'm a witness. I was there. This is not something that I'm talking about that didn't happen to me. It happened to me. I had an encounter with the resurrected Lord. I got to eat with him. And then he ignites them. Or God ignites them. God does the igniting, doesn't he? But God uses him to ignite them, and the Spirit's going to come on them, and they're going to be set afire, ablaze, to be in a movement and moving forward the kingdom of God. Let's look at this text. Well, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the providence of Judea, beginning in Galilee at the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing what? Doing good. And healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Now he's in this, he's giving a personal testimony. He's sharing his story. Don't ever think that your story about your walk with God isn't important. You can share the good news that the tomb is empty, but I'm telling you, your story about how God is transforming you and changing you, it's vital for moving the kingdom of God forward. And listen, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on the tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen again. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to be his ambassador, to be his representative, to be his spokesman, to go and preach to the people and to testify, to tell our personal story that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. So there it is. And all the prophets testified about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Whoa, what? The forgiveness of sins through his name. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. There's verse 34. I couldn't find it a while ago. Let's go to 45. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard him speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them a few days. Do you see how Peter invested in them, invited them to hear the story of God, inspired them with his own personal story, and then God put them on fire. The Holy Spirit is on them. And Peter is going, "Who am I to get in God's way?" Can you imagine how exciting it had to be to Peter to know that he was getting in on something pretty extraordinary, something pretty amazing? Do you imagine being there with Peter after he's standing back and going, "I didn't know what I was getting myself into"? Are we fixing to let Gentiles come and be a part of the community of faith? How many of you guys are thankful that the answer to that question was yes, because we're all Gentiles? And we wouldn't get to be a part of the body of Christ, the life of Christ, the mission of God without this story of Peter moving out of his comfort and being investing and inviting, inspiring and igniting. And then the fourth step, you got to step forward to disciple makers. Here's the verse. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Seems like a simple little text there. But you remember Jesus said, "I want you to go into all the world. I'm sending you. Go into all the world and make disciples. You're going to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of their sins so that they can receive the gift of the Spirit. And I want you to go. And then I want you to teach them all things." So Peter stays with them a few days. And what are the core values? What are the core teachings of Peter? When he is there, he knew what it was, and he shared it, and he taught it with them. Whoops. Listen, this is Shedonka Johnson, Sierra Leone. We just went to a discipleship conference, and he was just sharing with us how the church in West Africa, where 80% of the people are Muslims, is exploding. It's exploding. And now here's what I want you to think about. When you think about other countries like China and Africa, where God is powerfully working, here's what we know. The mission will stall when our God becomes small. And when we put him in a box and we set him on a shelf. But we're not asking here at South, we're not asking God to bless our mission. Today we're praying that God will give us the courage of Peter, who moved forward against his peers, in fear of his peers, and joined God on his mission to move into the lives of people who have been excluded. The invitation to God's party up to this point did not include Gentiles. But Jesus reveals God's attitude, doesn't he, through Peter. God loves every single person on the planet. God loves them. And do you remember when Philip was sent in scripture reading with the Ethiopian eunuch? Get this. Ethiopia is Africa. And in Africa, this Ethiopian eunuch, this guy who has been, this male who has been altered, is on his way to Jerusalem looking for God. But he's got three strikes against him. He is the wrong race. He's got the wrong physical condition. In fact, the Old Testament says a eunuch couldn't go into the temple. Can't come in here. And he's got no knowledge of scripture. In fact, he's in his chariot reading the scroll of Isaiah, but he has no clue what it's talking about. And here's a side note. If we could provide Bibles for everyone in the world, Reading the Bible is just not enough. The Spirit of God lives in you, moves through you, and wants you to invest in people and help them as they read the Scriptures. And here's what happened. A person apart from the Spirit of God needs help to understand the Scriptures and what it means to follow the way of Jesus. So Philip says, do you know what you're reading? I don't. Well, can I join you? Isn't it cool that this guy who couldn't go into the temple of God, that God places his Spirit, God puts his temple inside Philip, and the temple of God gets to sit, go out of its comfort zone, sit in this chariot while this Ethiopian eunuch is reading Scriptures. Isn't that amazing? And isn't it amazing that he's reading in Isaiah and he says, tell me about this Scripture. And then the eunuch says, he says, listen, look, there's some water. Why can't I be included? Why can't I be baptized? What stands in the way of my being baptized? Well, you're an African man. That's what stands in the way. You're a eunuch. That's what stands in the way. You don't know the Bible. Three strikes against him. But listen to this. The movement of God, the mission of God, breaks down barriers. It breaks down barriers. Living it out, doing it out, being obedient to God is what Philip was all about. And so the eunuch was baptized into Christ. I find it interesting that Africa received a missionary after that encounter with Philip and the commitment to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And then if you think about it, all the folks in Europe, well, they won't get the good news until later. That God has a sense of humor. That the very people that you think God's not interested in, he demonstrates, I'm very interested in. Listen, when you think about this, God wants to include everyone. But here's our problem. We, as followers of Jesus, have not always been obedient in including people, but sometimes we've been guilty of excluding people. Maybe you've heard the story of Gandhi. And when Gandhi was in college in South Africa, he in India didn't like the social hierarchy, class, caste system in his country of India. But he'd heard about Jesus. And that people that were nothing like Jesus were drawn to Jesus. And he was so excited to be in South Africa and to get an opportunity to go to a church to learn about Jesus. And so he goes in to visit this church and he's met at the door by an usher who said to him, stop. You can't come in here. You go to a church with your own kind of people. Now get on out. And he thought to himself, if Christianity has a hierarchy system, if it has a caste system, then I might as well stay Hindu. And throughout history, the mission of God has been bound up by the people of God who claim to be from God, who, without really realizing what they're doing, exclude. I'm sorry, you're not invited. You can't be included here. So read your Bibles and you'll see that the mission of God went to Africa before it went to the people of Europe. Shadonka Johnson just spoke at a discipleship conference that we, about five of us, went up to a couple of weeks ago. And he told this amazing story about the church in Africa being on fire. 80%, 8 out of 10 people in Sierra Leone are Muslims. But the Christians there are passionate passionate about taking the message out into their communities, and people that are living and standing up for the lordship of Jesus Christ are being killed. And so one night, Shadonka Johnson tells a story about being with three guys, and they're kind of in a study and in a worship, and some officers come in, bust in on them, want to kill them. And these other three guys, they all kind of start going, oh no, we're going to die. This is terrible. This is bad. I don't like this. And Shadonka says, I don't really know who those guys are. They're not really with me. You can let them go. And they let them go. And they said, but we're going to kill you in the morning. When our officer gets here, he's going to kill you. And they put him in this container. And he began, like Paul and Silas, to sing praises to God in the middle of the night. They would bang on the container and say, shut up in there. Be quiet in there. And he would just, why don't you come in here and join me? We can praise God together. All through the night, he prayed. Because he said, he thought, this is going to be the end of my life. I'm over. I'm finished. And when they opened it up and they took him to the officer that was going to execute him, the officer said, I've never seen anybody as bold and as confident as you are. You should be in my army. You know, if you were in my army, I'd move you up. You could be a high-ranking officer in my army. That's what I'd do with you. Shadonka said, I am in the army. He said, what? I'm in the Lord's army. At that point, he started telling him the story of an empty tomb and Jesus Christ, and that Jesus wanted to be the Lord of his life, and he baptized that officer, just like Paul and Silas baptized their jailer and his family. Shadonka baptized this guy. And when he was in Nashville talking to us, he said that that guy, that officer that was going to kill him, that officer has already planted three other churches. Listen, they teach them the Discovery Bible Study there in that country. And the Discovery Bible Study asks three questions. What does the text say? What does it mean? What do we do? What are we doing to be obedient to it? And then the fourth question is, who could you go teach what you've learned? Who could you go share that with? Here's the questions you need. Use something like the story of the Good Samaritan. What does it say? What does it mean? What do you do? How can you be obedient? How can you live into that? And then you teach them. So they find a new Christian, and they start studying with them. And they don't just teach them the Good Samaritan. They teach them how to use the Discovery Bible Study. And listen, a lot of those folks can't read. So they're just verbally telling them a story, a Bible story. And then they're telling, who do you know that might would love to hear this story? And they go tell, and they start studying the Bible with that person. And they ask them, what does it say? What does this mean? What do we do? How do we live this out? And then they ask that person, who do you know that you could go? And all of a sudden, there's this ripple effect of non-believers teaching non-believers how to live out and be obedient to the Bible. And when this person finally gets to, you know, Acts 2, and they're studying baptism, and repent and be baptized, and they're, wait, before I'm going to be baptized, I got to go study with my friend, and they'll study with their friend, and they'll study with their friend, and all five of them will come and be baptized together. And the church is exploding. And it has been said that there will come a day in North America when the people of Africa will come over here and teach us how to live passionately for God. And when you ask Shadonka, what's wrong with the church in North America? He would say, people in North America are anchored because they walk by sight and not by faith. That we're like a church family that gets on our nice yacht sailboat, and the rope's tied to the harbor. And we're safe in the harbor. We back paddle a little bit. We get our preachers to back paddle a little bit, take us out in the deep water. Woohoo! Are we having fun here today? So could somebody get us, can call room service? Okay, could we get a lemonade out here? How are those, how's those desserts working for you there? Is that good? Okay. Are we having a good time? Is everybody happy here on our nice sailboat? Okay, could somebody pull us back in? Because we've got a life to live. But what would happen if we untied from the harbor and we put our paddles, trying our high control sense of trying to be high control, put our paddles down, and we raise the sail and we let Jesus be the one who navigates our church community, and we're leaving the harbor, we're going out in the deep water. Oh, nobody knows what could happen out in the deep water. What if the church could catch on fire in the city of Baton Rouge? And amen? It only takes a spark. And here's what I've asked you to do today, to make four simple steps. Step up into the presence of God, prayer, fasting, and be 24/7 worshiper. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, worship God. Then I want you to step out of your comfort zone. Step out into opportunity. Step out in obedience to God. And then step into relationships where you invest and you invite, you inspire, and you ignite somebody to live for the Lord. And then you step forward as a disciple maker, making disciples who can make disciples who can make disciples. We can all do this. We can do this. And if we will make these four simple steps, step up. How's your step up? How's your prayer life? How's your walk with God? What can you do to improve it? Step out of your comfort zone. Who do you know that needs to know Jesus? Step into relationships so you're investing and inviting and inspiring and igniting people. And what can we do to start equipping each other in something like the Discovery Bible process, so that we're teaching, we're taught to teach, and they're taught to teach, and they're taught to teach. You see how God intended for this to be? And I'm so excited for us as a church family, because here's what I know. Our community needs us. But I know this. Saturday, I was with the most amazing group of people here at South that were huddled around tables lined with food and clothes, and about 170 homeless people down at the North Bridge, down at the North Boulevard, were coming through there and getting food and getting clothes. And we have people here who were amazing servants of God, moving out of their comfort zone, moving out into people. And they were living for the glory of God, and people were loved and people were served. Let's give those guys a hand. There, a lot of them are in this room. And how about the 200 bags of groceries that went to families of need? You guys did that. I love this church. We matter. We're making a difference. We're moving forward for the kingdom of God. It's awesome to see who you are and what you're all about. Step up, step out, step in, step forward. And I just want you to know that I have one other big bonus request. My bonus request to you is simply this. December the 20th, we have a Christmas concert. We always have a Christmas concert, and a few people come. A few people invite people. But could you imagine with me what it would look like if there were 2,000 people in this auditorium on December the 20th to hear the concert? What do you think? Too big? 5,000? 10,000? Okay, let's go for 1,000. How about 1,000? I want you to start praying that 1,000 people will be here on December the 20th. We're gonna put ads in the paper. We're gonna give you flyers. There's flyers out there today. I want you to invest in people and invite them to come to this event. If we can just get up in the chariot, if we can just get them here in the building. I know, listen, God gathers us and scatters us and sends us to share the good news. But also, we can leverage off what we have here. This is the most amazing event that we do in this place on a yearly basis, is a concert. It's not threatening. We're going to play Christmas music. There's no reason you couldn't have your friends in our building. And what about these decorations? What about them, huh? Some people worked hard on these decorations. I want to close reading this scripture. In Matthew 9, 37 and 38, Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask, that is, pray, cry out to God, cry out to the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out doers," not thinkers, not considering, not discussing it, "send out workers who are doing it in obedience, doing what God called them to do. Send out workers into the harvest field." Guys, that's who we are called to be, as ambassadors of Christ, reconciling people into the love, into the family of God. We can do this. Amen. If you would, bow with me as we pray. So God, I'm just asking you to bless this teaching today. in a way that Christ is lifted up, his grace, his gospel, his good news. And we pray, God, that we would have a passion for the mission. And that we would have eyes to see our next step and that we would be bold enough and courageous enough to take it. Use us, Father. Make us yours. And Father, we pray that this starts today. In Jesus' name, we all pray. And all who agree say amen. I have some exciting news I want to share with you today. And Connor Doty has made the decision. Let's give Connor a hand. He just stood up. That was good. Good timing. And his family's going to go with him to the back. And Connor's going to commit his life to Christ today. Amen. Amen. And we're going to get to celebrate that. We're going to sing a song of praise and celebration here. I'm so thankful for our praise band here and the praise team and just appreciate all they're doing. Just if you would go ahead and please stand. And let's celebrate God together in this song.